Today's episode of Daily DVR is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR today and use code DVR20 to save 20% off your order anytime, no minimum. And if you have an event coming up, they've got a blog. Get in touch with them. They can help you put it together. You know, it can be very intimidating. You have these big weddings coming up. What's everybody going to wear? You want it to match. You want them to look sharp. Cufflinks.com will help you. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Welcome back to Daily DVR. Well, everybody, I've got a great show for you today. It was my absolute pleasure to talk to Jack from Jay and Jack and Ralph from the Darmalars. We went back, baby. That's right. We went back and watched the pilot to Lost. It has been a while for me. And, you know, that's how I got started in this biz and podcasting. I'm still with the Lost, man. All my Lost peoples out there, I love you. Oh, man, this was really a fun show to do. I'm, like, emotional doing the intro right now. But I'm just going to let it speak for itself. So please enjoy Jack and I and Ralph talking about the Lost pilots part 1 and 2. And Jack is doing, this was part of a rewatch that Jack is doing on Crazy Hank TV. That's over on YouTube. I'll put the link in the show notes. And he's going to rewatch all of Lost and have great guests. Actually, next week, Bill Cava, our great friend, patron, listener, awesome man, podcaster, came out here to Portland. He's going to be on with Jack. So many great people. So if you are a Lost fan or podcaster, reach out to Jack. I'm sure he'd love to have you on. There's a lot of episodes of Lost, so he's going to need a lot of guests. But sit back and relax and enjoy right now. We have to go back, baby. So we did.
Welcome to Crazy Hank TV, the start of the greatest rewatch in the history of rewatching television. Yes, we're doing a Lost rewatch. It's the 10th anniversary coming up, right? It's 10 years since it ended, since it went off the air.
Yeah.
And I got two of the best podcasters to kick it off here. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves? And
yeah, I'm Ralph, Darmalar's Kaiju Podcast. All right, let's do a podcast. I think that's it.
That's it.
Where can they? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go to, if you've heard of any of those, follow at Casino Skunk. I have casinoskunk.com. That'll have all the links that you need to see. Right now, Darmalars is kind of whenever there's anything Lost to talk about. All right, let's do a podcast as a pop culture podcast that we get around doing every couple months with my friend Kevin. And then the Kaiju podcast is all about Godzilla, King Kong, Gamera, Mothra, Angulus, sort of giant monster you could think of. And that's with me and Jorge Garcia.
I've heard of
from that. The show Alcatraz.
Yes.
And that's considering both of our schedules, somehow we're able to have that one show up regularly. Every other Monday at 5 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, you will get a brand new Kaiju podcast with me and Jorge.
Nice. 5 a.m. Why 5 a.m.?
I figured it was... it was a good time for both the East and West Coast. I figured if people get it at 8, they can listen on their commute. Folks will see it in their feed when it pops up on social media. We have to pre-record a bunch of them, and then I edit and make sure it goes out. So I schedule them to go out at that exact time so that I don't have to worry about it. Oh, man. You know,
you don't wake up and do it.
No. Wish I could figure that out.
Well, my days off change and I work graveyard shifts. So now it posts while I'm at work. But every other Monday. We've been doing it for in January. It'll be our third year of doing the show. And we've never once missed a Monday at 5.
That's pretty good.
I said, it's every other Monday.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's cool. That's great.
And if anybody wants to jump on board, you don't have to listen to all of them. We just did a King Kong episode a couple weeks ago. If you happen to see that movie, that episode is self-contained. So,
all right.
Yeah, check it out.
All right. Axel?
Cool. Well, first off...
Nice shirt, by the way.
Yes. Check it out. My What Would John Locke Do shirt.
Something stupid, I would assume.
No. I love John Locke. I also have my jumpsuit, Jack. I was going to wear it, but it's a little hot here today. So I just have it on the chair. I always keep that handy whenever I'm going to run up on anyone that loves Lost. I throw the jumpsuit on. But it's really a pleasure to be here. Nice.
Well, I guess there I got to get out my stuff too, huh?
Burnt. It's even burnt from the implosion.
Whoa. I love it.
That's and it still awesome. Smells like chocolate.
Yeah, this is really a pleasure to be here with both of you. You know, I'm a big fan of both of your podcasts, and it's really wonderful to talk about Lost. I'm super excited. People can find out about me at dvrpodcast.com. We're covering a bunch of stuff right now. What are we covering? We're covering Bachelor in Paradise, if you can believe it. That's a lot of fun. Mindhunter, Heath and I are doing that, and Ken and I are doing Veronica Mars. But in October, Aaron and I, and Aaron was my original partner for Lost Mythos, are going to be continuing our Damon Lindelof Love Fest. We did the final season of The Leftovers, and we're all in on Watchmen. We're doing, I mean, I'm doing at least like 2-3 episodes a week, call-ins. I'm so excited for this. You know, he just did a little press tour about it, and he said it's really going to talk a lot about like social and cultural things that are happening, political things happening in America. And I just love Damon. So
I'm he's had a pretty good post-Lost career.
I mean, I look at it like what he controlled and what he was like in charge of, like The Leftovers, and then other things he's contributed to that other people, it's been edited, whether it's the Aliens or, you know, I think he had a little bit more control with the film that came out. What was it that he wrote with? Didn't he write that with Jeff Jensen, the Lost writer?
Oh, you're talking about the. I know.
Does anyone remember
Back in Time?
No, not Prometheus. With the little girl and George Clooney. George Clooney was in it. It was the Disney movie.
Yes.
Tomorrowland.
Yeah, Tomorrowland. Yes. Yeah, Tomorrowland. I think that he co-wrote that, didn't he? Then Damon co-write tomorrow. I wasn't a huge fan of that either. I was a little slow. But Leftovers, Lost, two of the best television shows ever invented. Well, so I'm on for it.
I know when we were – so I did a Leftovers podcast with Jay and Mike Bloom. And I actually said – I said after season two, I said, if I'm Damon, I stop. Because season two is perfect. And I go, why take a chance on – getting that backlash again, but season three was excellent. So he pulled it off. I'm a coward. I would have said, okay, I'm done it too.
Listen, I just have an affinity from that guy. He grew up like 15 minutes away from me in Teaneck, New Jersey. You know, we probably went to a lot of the same places. I just feel a kinship, and I just love what he does. And watching this episode, this was great to watch the pilot again. It's been a while. It was just so amazing, man. I just sunk right into it. So I'm very excited to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, speaking of the pilot, did we want to jump right in? I personally haven't seen the pilot. I haven't seen probably an episode of Lost in probably 3 or 4 years.
Wow. Jeez.
It's been that long since I sat down. We started that rewatch and something happened. We stopped. And so whatever that was, I said, you know what? The next time I watch Lost, I don't want to say that. He had some kids, you know. You having young
yeah,
kids.
Life happens.
Can be a hassle.
It's like Lost. Life happens.
Your job, you're traveling all over the place. So I don't want to throw Jay under the bus, but I'm backing it up over him. But
not in Portland.
But when I was watching it last night, I was like going, "Oh my god, this is so good."
Yeah,
this is just so good. But I'll give you your guys' thoughts.
I rewatched the series maybe about once a year or somewhere around there. And when you said, we're doing the rewatch, I'm like, cool, which episodes? And it's like pilot part 1 and 2. I'm like, not again. it's probably episodes I've seen the most, but, It's funny. As soon as it starts, you kind of just get right back into it.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting seeing the characters at the beginning, and especially knowing where they ended up six seasons later. And
being dead the whole time.
They were in purgatory, so Jack. They weren't
dead.
It's
so hard to explain to people what's going on. It makes me so mad.
Well, you've heard at the panel. I just don't do it anymore. I go, you can believe whatever you want to believe. I just don't care.
Yeah.
Man, that's my one kind of pop culture thing. I let it go when anybody makes fun of anything, but when they make fun of the end of Lost, I at least just have to tell them you're wrong or watch it again. But I totally agree with you. I'll occasionally put on an episode, have it on in the background. When it switched from Netflix to Hulu for a little while, I didn't have Hulu, so I couldn't do that. But this was the first time I like sat down and really said, okay, I'm going to podcast about this. I'm paying attention to it. And I want to try to analyze it like if it was a show I'm just watched, like it was the last episode of Game of Thrones, whatever. And all I can say is this, can I curse? This freaking show, it holds up. It's so amazing. And again, I'm always shocked that this was on network television. That's always the thing I have to kind of remind myself. And this pilot is amazing. The extensive use of natural out in the wilderness shooting. Now, of course, there's some sets and you can tell sometimes, but that's okay. But like they're running down the hill away from Smokey. When Jack turns the corner, they're on the beach. That pleasure pain thing that Lost always gave you, where the visuals are striking and beautiful and you just want to be on that beach, but then it's the most craziest, insane situation. Like, do you want to be on the beach? Yes, I still want to be on the beach. It's so beautiful, but it's so crazy. I was just blown away. I mean, I didn't think I would get sucked in. I build a little Gundam. Ralph, you must know about Gundam, right? Do you know about Gundam?
So I'm that's a song, right?
Gundam song. No. This is like Gundam robots, man.
Oh, okay.
They fight those big kaiju that you podcast about, right? Mm-hmm. But I thought I'll sit and build a Gundam, watch the show, because that's how I did like Game of Thrones rewatch. I didn't build anything. As soon as it started, I couldn't stop watching. I just sat back up on the couch and I was 2 hours. That was the end. And not for a moment was I bored or anything.
No, I agree. Cause I remember when I first watched it, Jay and I watched it. People think, did you watch it right away? I said, no, we missed the first two or three episodes. Everyone's like with people I work with. You got to start from the beginning. I go, okay, I'll wait till it shows in reruns. Well, it never really showed. So Jay got the DVDs for season one, like, I think 3 days before or something, like a real short time before the second season was going to start. I go, we're never going to be able to finish this before it starts. And I think we watched it in like 3 days.
Yeah.
And I can remember, like I said, when I was watching it last night, I said, because there's a lot of great pilots for TV shows, but most shows, even your great shows, struggle to get going. I mean, it just, I don't know if I can watch, and people say, oh no, you got to go back like The Wire. It took me like four episodes to go, all right, I'm sold on this now. This one is like you're saying, where Jack's laying in the bamboo, he can't figure out what's going on. He wakes up, he runs because, you know, we don't know what he's running to because we can't hear anything, which was excellent directing and just how they're doing that. And he runs and he looks and then you see the chaos going on. And so he runs and, you know, he's the Boy Scout, so he jumps into everything. But the way they set up the characters, I mean, you have John Locke and Sawyer, who are probably two of the main characters in the show, and they're really just kind of background characters, yes, other than Sawyer, great probably point, towards the end of the second episode. Yep. But it's because the problem a lot of shows have when they have a big cast is they try to throw them all at you at once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like going, okay, I'm too confused. I can't, like Flash Forward, I think, did that, where they just say, I'm like, okay, who's that again? Who's that? This one, it was slow. You had Kate and Jack and you're trying to figure out what's going on. And like I said, the smoke monster, we didn't even see him. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what it was. So best pilot in the history of television, without a doubt.
Yeah. I watched it. I missed the first two episodes and a friend of mine told me at work, he said, you should watch the show. It's great. I had a TiVo, which was, you know, fairly advanced at the time.
Yeah, that's pretty
cool. And so, you know, you can go and set up a subscription through TiVo. And so I looked up Lost, and it was like a week after the – I don't know if they aired on the same night, Pilot Part 1 and 2. They might have aired on separate weeks.
No, it was on the same night.
It was on the same night. Yep. So the next Friday, the following Friday, they had put both of them together like at 10 at night, like an encore presentation. And I had that sitting on my DVR, and then the rest of them started kind of going, like would like fill in the slot. So I had the Pilot Part 1 and 2, and then the Kate episode, Tabula Rasa. Is that the first one after this?
Yes.
So those three were on there. And it, the show was only like 2 weeks old. So it was just sitting there. I didn't know if I was going to watch it or not. My wife now, she's my girlfriend at the time, Stevie, was getting ready. We're going to go out. It was like Saturday. We're just going to go do something. And while I was waiting, I started watching the pilot. So I'm like sitting here bored. What am I going to do? I'll watch this thing my friend told me to watch.
We've all been there.
So I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm like, ah, shit. Okay, cool. This is neat. Okay. All right. And then the first flashback happens where you see Jack on the plane and you start learning a little more about this guy. And I'm like, okay, this is interesting and different. Cause like, I don't know who any of these people are. And it's clear right off the bat, I'm going to get to know who this guy is. And I'm going to get to see this plane crash that I missed out, you know, 30 minutes before. And I remember pausing it and I just like stopped it, rewound it all the way back to the beginning. And then when Stevie was ready, I said, come here, check out this show. And we sat there and watched Pilot Part 1 and 2. We didn't leave the house. Nice. And that was like the first, it was the Friday after the second episode aired, the Kate episode.
That's awesome.
So we got there pretty soon, like pretty early. And then what was cool was my TiVo had the ability to burn your shows onto a DVD, like a rewritable DVD. Yeah. And I was able to fit two episodes per. So I would record them on the DVR, put them on DVDs and just keep them in a stack. And I would go back and rewatch them. And then once the actual DVDs came out, the after the seasons were done, I would take that stack of DVDs and just send it out to the wild. I'd be like, here, watch this show. The discs are numbered and you'll be able to like follow along. And I would say when you're done, just give it off to somebody else and it would just get passed around. And yeah. So we were on about 3 weeks in, but we never really missed an episode from then on.
Well, that shows you how good the pilot is. It can change your plans for that night.
It was like the early afternoon. It was like, I started like at 10 a.m. and then we didn't end up leaving the house till like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. But it was, it grabs you right away. And then you see the flashback and you're like, I was so convinced that the rest was going to be awesome that I like decided to stop. And I rewatched that first, however long it takes to get to that first flashback. I watched it all over again.
I think it's like 25 minutes in.
Yeah.
30 minutes in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, right. I guess I'm the only one who was sitting in my house at, 8 p.m. over an antenna, because I didn't even have cable, watching ABC in New York the night it aired, because I was super excited for Lost. I was a huge fan. What's that?
I was going to say, yeah, why was that? Why were you?
Because
I was aware of it, but I don't know.
I was a huge fan of Matthew Fox. I loved Party of Five. Okay. I was not a TV person. I was really into TV when I was a kid. I went to college. I really stopped watching TV, and I really didn't start again until Lost. I was working at World of Video in Manhattan, best video store that ever was, better than Kim's. I don't know if anyone, whenever I say New York, they talk about Kim's. World of Video is better. But I was so into film, and I was starting to notice how television was getting better. And so I heard that Matthew Fox was going to be in this show, and I had heard from some people too that this pilot was amazing. I had already heard that, kind of working at World of Video, doing a little PA work in the industry. People, the word was out that, like, wow, they shot this huge pilot in Hawaii. There was stuff on the beat. People were like, this is not a normal network thing. So I literally, like, made sure I didn't have to work so I could be at home to watch it.
You go, I'm sorry, I got a cold.
No, I actually told him. I said to my boss, Mitch, I worked at a video store, man. I said, Lost is premiering, Mitch. I got to watch this show. And he was like, you're crazy, Foley. I was like, Mitch, I got to do it. Come on. And I sat there and I was blown away. I was like, I can't believe I decided to, like, the first time I actually sat down and watched something on TV when it was premiering. In years, in like 10 years, and it was Lost.
And commercials, too.
And commercials, everything, man. And during the commercials, I was like, what the hell is this show? Is awesome. I was sucked in. And I just want to say one thing that really struck me from this pilot, which is a lot of people talk about Lost and they talk about, oh, it's a sci-fi show, it's spiritual, it's whatever. But really, this pilot proves it and shows it. At its heart, Lost is an adventure, right? Like, oh, right, yeah. Away, they're on an adventure. They get off the beach and they're like, how can we get a better signal? We got to go hike. They're hiking. They're going in the far. They're like, right away, they're doing something, right? That's why for me, the later frustrations that Damon and Carlton had of forcing them off the island all the time with the backstories and the flashbacks and the 24 episodes mandated, I was always such a fan of anything that was happening on the island. I wouldn't miss it. You know, there's some things I don't always remember about the flashbacks, but if it happened on the island, I remember it. And it's just that adventure. So that's my thing. I sat there and watched it, and it made me get cable and get a DVR. Like, all this stuff was just so I could watch Lost.
Yeah.
And then I started watching other TV. So it basically podcasting, like, things you rarely say, like, oh, it changed my life. I mean, I changed my life, but Lost was the impetus to get me into all of this, you know? And it's like started an adventure in my life. And that's why every time I watch this pilot, I'm just always reminded that it wasn't the mystery stuff that got me, or even, I mean, I love the diversity. That was so important too. This came out in 2004. It's the Bush years. Saeed is from the Republican Guard. He mentions that. I was like, wow.
That's actually a funny scene.
Yeah, that was amazing. I was sitting watching that on Indian Row in Jersey City 3 years after I had watched the towers fall down with my own eyes. That was like really powerful to me. You know, that really said something to me on a deep level. So, yeah, I don't know. I could go on and on, but I'll let someone else talk more.
Well, like you say, to me, it's an adventure. It's a sci-fi, but it's the characters. And they, like I said, they did a great job of not just.
That's totally
not right. Rushing us. Right. Here's all the characters we're throwing them at you. You know, you had Kate a lot. You had Jack a lot. And you had, you know, Charlie. Because remember, Charlie, you know,
he plays
I'm Charlie. Yeah. But, and you know, you had your side character, your Saeed and, you know, Sawyer right away don't get along. So we know we know that Sawyer is not going to be a good guy. But then you also had Jin, who I think for the first half of the season, season one, I went too far ahead.
Yeah.
I didn't like him.
Yeah.
And then Lost did a great job. Well, again, I don't went too far ahead, but Lost did a great job of switching these characters around.
Yeah.
And going, okay, now because of, you know, like you said, when I think you mentioned the flashbacks, and that's what got me when we moved forward. That's what sold me on the show was the flashbacks, because then you get to learn more about the characters, and where they're flawed, what the issues are.
See, I had to get sucked into that, Jack. At first, it was the adventure of it in the island, you know? And then I started, oh my God, these characters are, it's like that was such a given that it snuck up on me, you know? But you make a great point because, and I'll say this about Jin, you even see he's trying to give everybody the sushi and nobody wants it. Right. Even Hurley's like, no, but he still has a heart, right? Like, there was such a heart to each of the characters. Right. They tried to show a little bit of a vulnerability, even if they were tough or even like a lock mysterious.
Yeah.
But the characters, I was surprised, like you said, that Locke is, it's the Orange and the Walt conversation. And that's basically all he did in the first two episodes.
Mm-hmm. And he basically sums up the whole show because it's a game.
Yeah.
Right.
Really right.
But he had a great line because, you know, Walt comes over to him and he's, you know, they're talking about checkers and the whole thing. He goes, we don't have, I think Locke says, you don't have an accent. He goes, we moved around a lot. My mom died. And you think Locke would say, oh, I feel bad for you. He goes, no, you've had a rough month, kid. It's just like, so you're almost thinking, okay, who's this Locke guy? He's kind of an ass.
Yeah, that was great, man. You're right. And then the way Kate reacted to his smile, too, I forgot. Because you always remember the iconic orange smile. But then Kate is like, what the hell? She's like repulsed.
Right. The murderer is repulsed.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Whose handcuffs are those? Where'd you get those handcuffs? Walt! And Walt is the second word ever uttered in Lost.
Yeah.
The first is son, and the second is Walt.
Yeah.
Right?
Walt!
Walt! And that kid from the beginning is like, Dad, all right, enough already.
I get it. Jeez. Oh, at least you know my name.
Yeah, right? Where's the dog? Oh, man. I was looking at some other stuff. Oh, but I wanted to say is that it made me think as if I was viewing this like something new, the consistency of the characters. Cause when we get to the finale, you see people make fun, blame, or they make fun of Lost. Oh, they made it up as they were going along, which I always find to be like the most anti-creative thing anyone could ever say, because everything is made up. Any film, TV show is improv'd, changed on the set, in editing. It doesn't matter. But the characters remain so on point from this pilot to the very end.
Yeah.
You know, like they're the kind of like the two sides of Kate, where she's so strong. And even when she's like half naked in the ocean, it's like a power pose. But then a couple, like 20 minutes later, she's like, Jack, you know, like that was Kate.
I'm going, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Oh, like God.
Already married.
That was the other thing is how many times are they going to fight about whether she's going somewhere or not?
Yeah.
Right.
She said it right from the start. I'm going.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I did think of you, Jack, because I had a crackpot theory as I was watching.
Okay.
And I know this was an early theory, but when they run away from Smokey in this pilot part two, and then they're looking for Jack and he comes walking back and he's just like, oh, I just jumped in the bushes and ran away. And then I remember later it became a theory that Jack was never Jack.
Yeah.
he jumped into the bushes. That was Smokey. Right.
Well, remember, because he was supposed to die.
Yeah. So it was like, I wonder if they played with that idea. Because I know they put stuff like that. Like, that's kind of the way JJ writes and Damon kind of adopted that a bit, where they leave it open almost so they can go back if they want.
Right. Well, they wanted Michael Keaton to play Jack.
Yeah.
Right. So would you have watched the show if it was Michael Keaton instead of Matthew Fox?
I don't know. You want to know? That's a great question. I would not have been as amped to watch it.
I might have been more amped to watch it, I think.
He was Batman.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. I loved...
Mr. Mom.
I thought that Matthew Fox on Party of Five was like the most kind of emotion. He was like the 90s dude, like vulnerable. And what he becomes in Lost, playing Nirvana.
He's a good crier.
Vulnerable. He cries. He's like a man, but he has feelings, you know? That's how I am. I have feelings.
I think probably more people would have watched if Michael Keaton was on.
Oh, I think so. Yeah,
but definitely. But I'm glad they didn't kill off Jack, because obviously he's so important to the show.
Taking a little break here from our conversation about Lost to remind you to go to cufflinks.com. You know the thing about cufflinks.com, if you go over there, I tell you these codes, but if you go there, they'll tell you the codes. They want you to save. Go to their homepage and you'll see what's happening at cufflinks.com. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. You can always use code DVR20, save 20% off your order, no minimum. Gosh, it's so exciting. I spoke over myself. But go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Find all the great codes and get the high quality products. And it's not only for an event. If you want to look good and just spice up what you're wearing, you know, look good when you step out in the morning, go to cufflinks.com. If you're wearing a tie to work, why not a tie clip? Why not a pocket square? Why not some awesome Star Wars socks? You can get it all at cufflinks.com. Star Wars, NCAA, NFL, Disney, everything. They got it all. New Aladdin stuff. They just dropped some new Black Panther stuff. They're getting new stuff in all the time. You want a 100th anniversary of NFL pin? They just started selling those for $20. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today.
But what did you think of Hurley was big in it, and it was funny what he didn't. They started doing the names, like, was it the second episode of the part two?
Yeah,
so they really weren't using names in the beginning. It was just I think Saeed and Hurley gave their names, and Jack and Hurley. But
I thought you meant Sawyer giving Hurley names.
Oh yeah, no. we had that. That set the tone for that one. What do you call him? Jumbo or something like that?
Yeah. Lardo.
Lardo, that's what it was. Jumbo comes later on.
Sawyer's the best, man. Our Han Solo, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Angry Han Solo.
Yeah.
But as we see, he has later on, he has a reason for it, if you haven't seen it. I still come by one theory, though, and it's more later on, but the Marshall and Kate, they had something more going on than that never got played out. You know, I had people complain about how Dharma never got complete. That story, there's more to that story than we know, because he's just too obsessed. And he goes, yeah, she lied to him and all this different stuff. So there's more going on than he just has to get, you know, someone runs away from him. He's a marshal. He's got to get that person back. Yeah. It's personal for him. And they never really, that's one thing that always bugs me, because I said it from the start. I go, okay, what's their relationship? What did they do before? And you see, you know, some of the other episodes, we'll see, flashbacks and stuff. But to me, they didn't really. Am I just seeing things, looking for something?
No, I think you're right. And I think that's an example of one of the things that they kind of left open-ended that I think that they did throughout this show. And it was a result of that huge episode order. And I think that, you know, I've read some interviews with Damon and, you know, before Carlton came on board, just the frustration of having to make it be so long, you know? Right. I mean, because look at it honestly, guys. If it was today and Lost was 10 to 12 episodes a season, they could have done that. You know, they could have formatted it like these premiere shows, and as we got towards the end, that's kind of what they wanted to do.
So I'll ask you both, would it have been better if they had been on cable or just doing 10 to 13
episodes? At the time, no. I think the money was in the networks, and I think the cable is what it is now because of shows like Lost.
Definitely.
So you're not gonna, I think that I heard the story about how this pilot got made. I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but I guess there was going to be a changing of the guard.
Yeah. Yeah.
At ABC, and the head of ABC kind of did a big FU to the company by green lighting this script and giving them an insane amount of money to go to Hawaii and shoot this thing.
Oh, really? So
it was Lloyd Braun, the same guy who was behind like Seinfeld, like all these great shows. This guy has, but he's the one who says previously on Lost That's his voice.
So he did this thing where it cost so much money that even after he left or got fired or whatever, they had to air it because it cost them so much money. They didn't want to take a loss. So that kind of forced the network to put this show on the air. So at the time, like you think about it and how TV was before Lost and how it's changed since, like none of this would have happened if that dude didn't just like dump a bunch of money onto the script.
So we should thank that. What, Lloyd Braun, is it Lloyd?
Lloyd, yeah. I believe his name's Lloyd Braun. Yeah.
So isn't that a character? That's a character on Seinfeld, isn't it?
I think it was.
George Costanza's arch enemy.
I think it was actually. Yeah, he's one of these dudes who behind the scenes is responsible for giving like thousands of people a career he worked in a lot of places. But Ralph, that's a great point because I was going to say something similar, which is like it's the struggle that makes it what it is. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that, like Lost, it's the journey, not the destination. And I think that it is responsible for so much of this. I mean, even the three of us sitting here talking on the YouTube, which has now become, I mean, fandom is now a lifestyle it's a religion for people.
It's acceptable.
You know, and we kind of started off doing it for nothing, hanging out, talking, you know what I mean? And like, now it's like a culture and a business and, you know, and for me too, it's like my career. It's just amazing what it kind of spread. And to me, it's so beautiful because like you say, Jack, it's always, the whole show is always about disparate people working together for a common cause. And it's really about love. And that's why I think it's beautiful. Like Lost is the greatest fandom. We're always so good to each other.
What's kind of funny is you mentioned the commercial breaks earlier. While the pilot episode, part one and two, and Tabula Rasa were sitting on my DVR, my two roommates, independently of each other, both ended up hitting play on Lost. And they got into it. And even though we had a DVR, we got to the point where we would all make sure we were home on Wednesday night to watch Lost all together. Yeah. And you would use those commercial breaks to discuss what just happened. Yeah. And it what's funny is in doing so, like it was around this time where I quit my job. It was the second season of Lost. I quit my job and me and my friends were just obsessed with the show. And so I'm sitting here on my computer writing. I was writing a screenplay and I needed something to listen to while I kind of did prep work and stuff. And I found out about podcasts and I'm like, well, I understand what podcasts are, but what do I want to listen to? Like, what am I like? I like looked up Star Wars and there's a couple things and I'm like, but like right now I'm really into Lost and I want to know more about Lost. And so I typed in Lost and three of them came up. First was the transmission. Yeah. I listened to the transmission and I assumed that it was produced by ABC. I didn't know. I knew what a podcast was. I didn't know how they were made. And then I started listening to Jay and Jack. And I'm like, okay,
those guys.
These are like just guys.
Yeah, obviously they're not trained professionals.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was kind of like set up that way. It was a little more loose. And then the third one was Make Your Own Kind of Music with Scott and Steve.
Oh yeah.
And Craig and Dylan, who did that show, were definitely more rough around the edges. They didn't censor themselves. They used whatever language they were using. They left it all in. And then I realized, oh, these are just people. Yeah. All of these are just people. ABC didn't sanction any of these things.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is kind of neat. These are just fans. And so I'm like, okay, so you go to the websites and the forums and you start interacting with other people. And so now, after, you know, I sit there and watch the show with my friends and discuss it during commercial breaks. And at the end, I would jump online and like talk about the stuff we had talked about, you know, see what other people say. And then the next day I would talk to my roommates about what I read on the internet. There were screenshots. You can like, it was crazy. It was just like,
it's incredible. Yeah.
It was a snowball effect. And it was just like, you know, it's funny because if it were on cable today, none of us are waiting Wednesday to watch it live. Now you have East Coast feeds and West Coast feeds. You have social media, and that's going to get in the way of how you watch it.
Right.
With Lost, it was like, I didn't have any issues with spoilers.
Yeah.
I didn't have Twitter.
But Lost got me into Twitter.
What was funny was once Twitter started coming into the fold in 2008, there was like a couple of years where Lost and Twitter overlapped. Yeah. I found that spoilers weren't a problem. I feel like there was discussions, but nobody really, I never had any fear of getting spoiled on an episode. Wow. Cause I would have 3 hours before it started, you know, between, right. But now there's so much stuff and so many things you get inundated with that, that, you know, I don't know if I would be able to deal with social media on a weekly basis. I didn't watch Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad when it aired, but I think I would get anxious that I would get spoiled on stuff. Yeah. Now, if Lost were to make a comeback, I would want it to be on a streaming service where they can just dump them all at the same time, so that East Coast and West Coast gets it at the exact same time. I'm there for that.
It will.
But I don't think I'm going to go and tune in on a network.
No, that will never. If they do it, it'll be on a streaming service. There's
Disney Plus.
Would be amazing. I mean, my dream. We did some podcasts where we talked about it. Lost the Dharma years. A young couple and their family come to the island, and then we have another one. Law. I want Hurley back on the island. That's what. Oh wait, spoiler alert. That was great though, man.
He's already there.
Yeah, that's true. That was a great story. Yeah, that's how I got into podcast. I mean, the first two were The Transmission and Jay and Jack.
Yeah.
And those were my first, that was the second and third podcast I ever did. My first podcast.
If you don't know out there, Ralph designed our logo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the one that he sent it in.
That's awesome. Yeah, dude. My first two ever episodes of Lost Mythos was first I interviewed Ryan and Jen, and then I interviewed Jay and Jack. And the reason why I wanted to do it, I wanted to talk to other people who were doing it. And just because I thought it's kind of like the spirit of Lost. That's why the fandom's the best, because the fandom is about the show. Like, no offense to Jack, I know you did too, so long, just Game of Thrones season 8. Like, that show is about like killing people and power, and the fandom is kind of like that. But the Lost fandom is like,
it's an angry fandom.
Yes, it is. It's a very angry fandom. And the Lost fandom is not. It's like, you love Lost, I love Law. Hey, you, everybody. Like, everybody just wants to talk to everybody, you know?
It came at the perfect time, too, because everyone was able to become fans. Yeah. And then we were able to come together on the internet, kind of under the radar.
Yes.
And with the advent of Twitter towards the end, we were able to fully come as one big giant group, just come together. And then as the show was ending, you start getting the kind of not diehard fans who would poke their head in and kind of, we got this kind of tail end of like that,
complain about
that
the
sort
end.
Of yeah. anger where people were bitching and moaning about the finale. But I feel like, those are people that just kind of showed up and were being jerks. They're not true fans. Maybe I'm sure there's some definite true fans out there that don't like the finale, but I feel like for the most part, every year when we go to San Diego for the panel, it's always such a positive vibe. You never hear anybody talk ill of the show. I mean, I have the same gripe I've had since season 3, and that's Further Instructions is a hot mess of an episode. But that's like the only thing, like when people are complaining about whole seasons of Game of Thrones, or I hear things like the last season of Dexter is like unwatchable, and I hear all these things, I'm like, my only complaint about Lost is I don't like the flashback in one episode. I'm not the biggest fan of Beyond the Sea, but I mean,
I love it.
Come on, that's two episodes. Yeah. With Beyond the Sea, for me, it's I like that. I'm glad I have that information. I wish it was placed somewhere else.
Yeah, most people wish it was the start of the season, not the end of the season.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been nicer. But I mean, that's for however many episodes. What is it, 111 or 117 or however many episodes Lost is, to really just not like one episode's flashbacks and then another episode its placement in the series. It's pretty nice. It's great. It's not, you know, I've never really come across a fan of Lost who's like super negative. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be fans, but you never hear anybody complaining about so-and-so. I've never really had a problem with Nikki and Paulo.
No, I love that episode. Are you kidding? Because, I thought it was so much fun.
People had an issue with them being included into the season and pretending like they're there the whole time. But like Dr. Arse, Ethan Rom, like there's other characters that kind of show up.
Yes.
You know?
Well, I still say with Nikki and Paulo, they should have just been on another part of the plane.
Yeah.
They could have been in the front of the plane, and that's how they should have worked it. But I got spoiled on that. On the death of that from a listener, but not on purpose, but I used to answer all the emails, and I used to answer up until it used to take me almost till Lost. So we would get so many, and I was playing phone calls, and sometimes I'd star them for Jay so he could know which one's a good phone call. And they go, yeah, you know, it was from Canada, and they got it an hour earlier than I did. And so I'm listening, I go, yeah, I couldn't believe that they buried Nikki and Paulo alive. I'm like going, what? What is this guy talking about? I'm like, I go, oh, damn it. The whole episode, I'm watching Jay and my wife. They're like going, and they go, I go, I already knew that. I got spoiled.
Yeah. I didn't get too bothered by stuff, because I have to say that I was always sensitive to the episode thing. When Damon and Carlton finally came out, and when they forced the end of the show and the limited number of episodes, I was so excited and happy because you could feel that mm-hmm. they were spreading things out because of the format, but that's okay because they learned from it. And you know what? We got a lot of great stories that otherwise we wouldn't have got.
Yeah.
That season I really
three
enjoyed,
starts off, you know? A little rocky, where you have, the people split up on the Hydra Island. You have Jack and Kate in the cages with Sawyer and stuff. And
the pods, right?
Yeah. Where they released like what was like six episodes. And then there was another hiatus, and it was like that made things really tough. And you'll find like on the rewatch, 'cause like I said, I watch it, you know, probably every year. Those episodes aren't as bad when they're all presented back to back. Because I think one of the issues is you don't see like Hurley until like the third episode of that season. Yeah. And when you're watching it week to week, that's three whole weeks. And you're like, well, I only have six episodes in this pod. I'm halfway through this pod and I haven't seen Hurley yet.
Yeah.
So
I think maybe going back to, I never thought about this till you brought it up, but maybe people hated those episodes or disliked them more because we had more time to dissect them and complain about them.
I think that I remember that, Jack.
So maybe that's what it was.
I think it was, dude. I remember that. I remember that time, and it definitely was that. And I think that there was, but I want to say, going back to the pilot, Jorge is so amazing in this episode. Like, just even the first time you see him, just the looks on his face, the casting is so amazing. I have some notes in front of me, and I had to shout him out, because even the part I remember is when Jin offers him the sushi and he's like, no way, man. It's like, again, it's like that lost sensibility. Like when Locke was like, you had a rough week. Like, yeah. I'm telling you, man, it's just the Jersey in me. That is so Jersey. And that was always in the show where it was like, yes, it's very emotional show. It's dramatic, but also people had the ability to just be like careless like that. Like you think Curly was supposed to be the nice guy. Like you think they'd note that on ABC. Like, why is he why is he being mean to this guy? He's supposed to be the nice guy.
Well, you know, but,
they let it be natural.
He was kind of doing it. He was nice about it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And we see that, but it was like, it was for network TV, even at the time that so much rights to type, it was allowing people to kind of be human and I just appreciate, and he was so natural in that, that it was just, the cast is so amazing. Even like the first shot of Sawyer, I think it's 20 minutes in after everything is settled down on the beach, or 15 or 20 minutes before they cut to commercial, they do a bunch of like silhouetted shots of Claire on the beach. Jack is standing there, Locke is on the beach, and then Sawyer's smoking a cigarette, and it's the first time you see Sawyer.
Yeah.
And it's like the most beautiful shot, and all he has to do is sit there and smoke a cigarette, and you know exactly who he is. Like, it's just perfect casting and act. Everybody just fit. It just all worked like magic.
Yeah, and another thing I think helped the show, too, is a huge cast, but they didn't seem to have huge egos.
Yeah.
I mean, I
don't know.
I mean, I went there behind the scenes, but it just seemed like you didn't hear.
For the most part, I feel like a lot of them were unknown.
Yeah.
I think Terry O'Quinn, Matthew Fox might be the only cast members that were sort of established.
Yeah.
Well, that at least I had seen.
He was in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, Don McMahon. Yeah. And Harold Perrineau, I think, was on.
Yeah, that's true, right?
But no superstars.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think Matthew Fox was by far, I think for TV, he was like on the ads. They were like, Matthew Fox.
Yes, I didn't watch Party of Five, so I didn't.
Great show, Jack. You should go back and watch it, man. It's a beautiful show. Maybe
I'll do a rewatch after Lost.
It's a beautiful show. I'm telling you, it'll make you cry, man. A lot. He did even more crying on that. I'm telling you, that dude was crying like 15 times an episode on Party of Five. He is a great crier.
Well, I used to do a contest, and that was always a thing. When will Jack cry?
And he got me every time. And he drinks so well too. Like, just he's always shaking the glass, right?
Learned it from his dad.
Oh man. When they're showing the repeat of, like, you know, Charlie running down the aisle in the plane, Jack, right? You can't help but think of all the stuff that's going to happen and how they're going to talk about that and go through it again. What's her name? Cindy.
Yeah. I was just about ready to say something about her.
Yep. You can't.
Was she better looking as an Australian or an American? Because later on, she loses the accent.
She was playing a role. She was hiding out, man.
Yeah. I always thought that was one of my theories, that she actually was another.
No, she was definitely. And also, this is the episode, and don't you hear when Jack is waking Rose up? She says, Dharma, Dharma. We're in Dharma. You didn't hear that, Jack? That's what Rose is saying.
I wanted to.
She's like, Dharma, Jack is right.
Yeah, well, I was so close. Because I remember when they, I know we're getting way ahead of us, but when they have, you know, where a lot of them went and worked for Dharma, I said,
yeah, I know.
I'm going to get it. And they retired. I go, come on, man.
Dude, I was with you the entire time, man. I always thought that was one of your best. They should have done it.
So with this rewatch, is there a way for you to do Jack's Crackpot Theory of the Week?
You know, we did that on we did like three rewatches or whatever it was. And I go, look, I'm done. there's nothing else. I mean, nothing happened in this watching the pilot that I don't remember. It just brought back memories of, like I said, the Marshall and Kate, Rose. Okay, I guess she didn't really go too much into this, but one of my theories was this, the plane crash was staged because nobody survives that. There's no way anyone survives.
Yeah,
there's no way. And I'm like going, it had to be staged. Mm-hmm. And just, of course, that didn't happen. And we found out there's other things behind it, but that was two of my theories, that the marshal was more involved with Kate and it had to be staged because there's no way you could live.
Yeah. I think a lot of people with the marshal got more wrapped up in what Kate did as opposed to they're like more into the destination than the journey or the yeah. So I think people are more interested in her.
Yeah, I know
what she did, and it kind of. But maybe on this rewatch, you'll find it a little bit more.
Yeah, I know it bugs people because that's. I think the opposite. Like, okay, why were they? Why was he so obsessed with her? Mm-hmm. I mean, why? Why? I mean, I get it. You know,
I always thought that was a part of it, Jack. I read that into it myself, and I mean, I probably misremember him saying, "I'm in love with you," like in my own mind. It's been so long, but I think that that's there. You know, that's
because he says on the plane. I think he says, you know, I've heard your stories before, or something to that effect, where you know you've lied to me before. I don't believe you, and all that different stuff. And anyway, we'll get it on the reboot or something like that.
That's the one thing I have to say, that if they, I hope they continue the story, not retell it. I think mm-hmm. that would be rather boring. And plus it's in HD. You know what I mean? Like it looks great. Again, I have to compliment the cinematography. I think it was Larry Fong who shot this. The cinematography is amazing. And that's again and again, that's what blew me away, is that they actually were shooting in natural locations. It was amazing. And the cliff that they show, they got to do that twice, both ways coming and going. Yeah. That was amazing. It was just so beautiful. So
well,
beautiful.
That's almost like the perfect group to go on the hike to get the trans. I mean, you have Sawyer and Saeed who hate each other. You know, you got, what's her name? I'm drawing a blank on her name. Boone and Shannon is just waiting to be rescued, sunning on the beach. And then you got Kate, of course. Kate's going. Kate's not staying behind. I'm going on that hike. Yeah. It's just the perfect, of course, Charlie, because Charlie's going because, of course, Shannon asked him to go. Of course, he's going to go, right?
Yeah. And the music, too. I got to give a shout out. Man, like just everything. Yeah. So adventure. And you know what? I don't know if I mentioned this so many podcasts, but I remember in this pilot, it hit me again. Of it having a Planet of the Apes feel. Did anyone else ever get that? Like, you know, the sounds, you like everything. It just gave me that feeling.
There was
I went to a concert thanks to Jack and thanks to the hurricane that never really did anything to his house.
Oh, you know,
but I ended up with Jack's tickets to a concert. And during the concert, it was a lost concert. Giacchino introduced one of the musicians, and as a percussionist, really old man, had to have been in his late 80s, and he had a bunch of like crazy stuff set up on racks and with like these crazy hanging bells and stuff, and he was the percussionist on the original Planet of the Apes score, Jerry Goldsmith score.
Wow!
So what's funny is I never knew
that.
Yeah, I know Giacchino is a big fan of the original Planet of the Apes. Of course, he's gone on to score a couple of Planet of the Apes movies himself. He mentioned that, and this I find amazing. I don't know if this is applies to the pilot, but he said during the entire production of the show, he scored every single episode. No one else scored a single note of the show. And not only did he score every single episode, he didn't do any spotting sessions with the directors of the episodes. They just handed him the episodes with little to no notes. Like there may be script notes, but I guess I don't think he read the scripts because he liked the show so much. He wanted to watch it cold.
Oh, wow.
And so no one gave him direction as far as what to do. So everything in the show that you hear from Michael Giacchino, and like I said, it's probably different for the pilot, but everything he did on that show, every single note is him. He had no notes. So he got to compose this entire series without anybody meddling with him.
I'm so glad you said that, because doesn't that show you how fandom is, where someone will be like, oh, the music was like this, they were trying to say this, and then it's like, mm-hmm. No, you don't understand how complicated it can be to make a TV or film. Like, yeah. A lot of times the communication is not as clear as you think it is. There's not like a mandate. There's a bunch of creative people working together, and that just shows you that that's like, that methodology could kind of give it a certain life. You know,
what's great about this first season too, is we get some basic Lost themes. You mentioned the theme, the Hollywood and Vines, when they go on their adventure, they usually save that he usually saves that theme for finales when they go on their final trek to do whatever their main mission is. He has like sort of a main Lost theme. There's a couple of like main overarching themes in the pilot, part one and part two. What's great about Lost is devoting each episode to a different character. That's when Giacchino starts developing individual themes for the characters. And as the series progresses, everybody has their own specific theme. So you can hear, there'll be a conversation between Jack and Sawyer. They won't mention Kate by name. They'll just say her, and Giacchino will be able to play her theme.
Yes.
So you know who they're talking about. And it's just amazing that when I'm listening to my music on shuffle, and I'll, like last night this happened, and it's Claire's theme. And I'm like, I know this is Claire's theme because I watched Lost. And it's amazing how many characters there are on Lost. And even when Ben Linus comes into the fold, he has his own theme, and Juliet and all these people, Richard Alpert, all these people, Jacob, everybody has their own theme, but what's great is they're all so recognizable. And it's nice that he was able to, from the very first frame to the very last frame, he got to score the entire thing on his own without anybody getting in the way. And I think the score, I mean, if anything, is like the one thing, if you hate the show or not, you know, I think that everyone can agree that the music's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there's no way around it.
No, I think that goes to the pilot. It's flawless.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, both episodes, part one and two. I mean, how often do you get, okay, the show's great, I like the directing, that music, God, I wish they would turn the music down. So there was nothing wrong. I found nothing wrong with it, and I've seen probably the pilots, part one and two.
So the way you were excited about Matthew Fox doing the show, I was excited about Michael Giacchino because I was a fan of his since the original Medal of Honor, fantastic music for that video game. And I had sort of followed his career up until that point. And when I saw his name in the main credits, I'm like, oh, that's awesome. But then he showed up every week after week. I'm like, this doesn't happen. This does not happen. Especially since he, around the same time as Lost, did his first film score, which was The Incredibles, which was a huge success. And then he got an Academy Award for Up, yet week after week, every single week, he did the score for Lost.
Yeah,
with a full orchestra.
And a great job.
So insane.
I have to shout out our good friend Matt, who had a show called Keys to Lost, where he did segments on Giacchino's music every week and went over it. That was great. I mean, so many great podcasts. That's so cool to find out about the methodology behind it. And that's cool that you were attracted to the music there, because it's something that Lost helped teach me more about it. Like you were saying with themes, I had only noticed that before in Twin Peaks, that everyone had a theme. And then it was Lost brought that back for me, the kind of notice that stuff, you know, the intricacies of everything, because like you're saying, Jack, it was so perfect. It made me more interested in wanting to find, even though that was my job, I was working at World of Video. Plus I'm making movies and working on sets, but it was like Lost just had, it was such a shining example of everything that it really brought me in. and it just kind of brought it all together, baby.
Oh. Yeah. All right. That could be a perfect spot to end this. What do you think? I have no story of why I don't have an actor or music or anything. I just was told to watch it and fell in love.
Oh, wait, I have one more story. Okay. When you were mentioning the commercials, I was thinking, I don't know, does anyone remember there used to be a Lost podcast that their gimmick was that they would watch it live and record during the commercials? Do you remember this? And it was like, that was their whole show. I don't know. There were so many different weird gimmicks, but that was the, I just start remembering about how it was also for podcasting. People came up with the craziest ideas to do. And when we're talking about commercials, I was like, man, there was some show that like they would run. They would go, okay, it's the first commercial break. Oh my God. Wait, it's coming back on. And that would be the whole podcast.
I think I listened to all the Lost podcasts out there.
Oh man. There's so many great ones.
I would answer the emails by listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
I just pop the next one on and so yeah, there was a lot of great podcasts out there.
But if anyone out there gets a chance, if Giacchino does his Lost concert, it's called We Have to Go Back. Do yourself a favor and try to get to that show.
I did try.
No matter you try, no. But I've seen it three times now, and I'm not kidding you. Like, even if you don't fully understand the impact of the music, go to this concert and bring some tissues. And I'm not kidding you at all.
As soon as box or for you,
for yourself. Cause okay. Like, I'm not kidding. So the last time I went to the concert was in Ireland. And before the show, I was like, oh shit, I don't have any Kleenex. And so we had a big group of us and I was just like, asking her, I'm like, hey, do you guys have Kleenex? And one of my friends looked at me and they're like, what do you need Kleenex for? And I'm like, I'm going to cry. I'm letting you guys know I'm going to cry. You may not, even if you don't pay attention to the music, as soon as it starts, as soon as that concert starts,
oh man,
you're going to get six seasons of emotions flooded on you at once. It is insane. And then there's a couple moments where like they do the boat raft sequence where they play the footage. They play the footage while they play, the orchestra plays it. And it's just not a dry eye in the house.
I see your point. I'd be crying. Yes.
Oh man. I had a tear watching the pilot. Just little moments make me remember, man. The music is amazing.
When we went in Ireland, they recorded, that concert, and I think somehow some way he's gonna put it out.
Oh, okay.
I don't know when or how it's gonna be presented or whatever, but if you get a chance to go live, I didn't get tickets to the show that Jack gave me the tickets for because I'm like, oh, it's like $86 a ticket or something. Worth it.
That sounds like it's. I know Bill well,
I
is.
I think Jack's might have been a little bit more.
Yeah, we paid a little more for that because we wanted to be down lower because we're old. I'm older. My wife's older.
But I'm going to let you know that venue that you got tickets for, not a bad seat in the house. Amazing intimate theater. I'm not kidding you. Even if it's like a state or two over, make a 6-hour drive if you have to. You won't forget it. Believe me, you won't forget it.
That.
I know your guest is Bill Cava coming on next week, Jack?
He is.
He's been to many of those. He'll attest to it. He's been to many of those. And time he went, I think on Facebook, he was going live. And I saw it and scrolled it. Took me about 3 seconds to start crying. So you are not alone, my friend, because that is so everything. That's Lost.
Yeah, I grew up listening to film music. When I was 3 years old or 4 years old, my mom wouldn't let me go see Raiders of the Lost Ark because she thought it was too scary for me. So she got me the tape on Columbia House in the mail. And so ever since then, I've been a huge film score fan. I'm going to do a little plug because Jack's trying to end this thing.
No,
but I have a Patreon page. And if anyone knows like about it, it's only a dollar. It's $1 and that unlocks all, I think, 45 to 50 audio podcasts as soon as you spend that $1. And if you do $2, it unlocks all 54 audio and video podcasts. But I do a series on there called Lightsabers and Leitmotifs that I'm really proud of, where I go over all of the themes for Star Wars. So all of the character themes for Star Wars. Nice. So much like Lost, John Williams wrote themes for almost every character. And I've been going through movie by movie in release order, and I'm up to episode 7. My next episode next month will be for Rogue One, which is the first non-John Williams film score, which was composed by Michael Giacchino.
That's right. So, you've been on Owen Brews Barbecue podcast.
Yeah, I was just listening to you talk about going to Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah. I have a 2-hour episode on my Patreon. Once again, $1 will get you like 45 episodes.
Where can they find this? Where do they have to look?
You can go to patreon.com/casinoskunk or just go to casinoskunk.com. Yeah. It's the Casino Skunk Secret Society. Only 28 people know about it. So I'd like more people to come know about it. All that money goes directly back into the podcast for like my hosting of Kaiju Pod, Darmalars, All Right, Let's Do a Podcast, and all that stuff. So it's I'm really proud of that show. Jack has been on an episode, I believe so.
I think I had you.
What, Jack?
Well, I'm pretty sure I had you.
I know Jay has. I don't know if I have. Maybe I have, and I just.
The last two. You know what it is? The last two Comic-Con panels are up. You posted on Crazy Hank TV.
I did.
The year before did not get posted anywhere on jayandjack.com. So if you want to hear the San Diego Comic-Con panel from a year ago, that's on there.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to talking about Giacchino's music. And if you want to hear Michael Giacchino talk about Ultraman,
cool.
Go to the kaijupodcast.com because me and Jorge recorded an episode with Michael Giacchino about an episode of Ultraman, which is available for free on YouTube. So you can watch that episode and listen to that show. And we talk about, Giacchino's a rad dude.
He's a really nice guy.
I really want to get him on for the Rogue One episode. So stay tuned to casinoskunk.com or at casinoskunk. And
since we're going along here anyway, we were at the Comic-Con panel, and someone said Giacchino is up front.
That was me.
Yeah, and so we start walking up there, and I turn around, and everybody else is gone. It's just me. But then he got up and left before I got there. But then because you wanted to. I go, what's going on?
this is what happened. So it's before the Lost. It's before the Lost panel, right? We're all in. I think it was Ballroom 20 at the time.
Right.
This is 2006 because that was the year Stevie went. So this was between season 2 and 3. All these Lost fans came up. The Darmalars was only like a couple episodes in, and people came up and said, "You're Ralph from Darmalars." And I'm like, this is weird. So the whole Lost community's there and it's loud. And I noticed Giacchino all the way up front, cause we're sitting like 20 rows back. He's all the way up front by a VIP section. And I decide I'm going to yell out real loud, "Giacchino," which I did. At that moment, for some reason, everybody in the auditorium had just quieted down right before I said it. And he just looked up and I pointed at him. He pointed at me, gave thumbs up. And then that's when you guys went over. I guess I should have gone too, but.
Well, we didn't make it because something we got, but later.
Oh, on, I think it started. I think the panel was started.
Yeah, that's what it was. A few years later, though, I was sitting next to Joe, opinionated. And she went up. She goes, "Go meet him." I go, "I don't want to bug him. I don't want to bug him." And he was like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah,
just really nice. But anyway,
it's awesome.
Axel, do you have anything to that you want people to check out?
Oh well, yeah. Go. We got a Patreon, and you know what? That's where I'm releasing our old Lost Mythos episodes. I'm releasing them. we were on Talk Shoe, and Talk Shoe went kaput. Well, they changed owners and they lost everything. And our great friend of the pod, Andy, saved all our podcasts.
Wow.
I have them on some computer, I think, in my garage. But he was like, Axel, I got them. So I'm releasing them on the Patreon. And then I think in the next year or so, I'm just going to put them all on a new feed and put them all out there. Let everybody listen, because that was some crazy times. For the first like 7 episodes, I called the show Lost Mythos. I don't know why. And then I called it Lost Mythos. I don't know why I called it Mythos.
I always called it Mythos.
I know. Some people did too, but it's Mythos. Like Lost Mythos. Theory Cast. Trademark. I should have. I'll let you can call it whatever you want, Jack.
All right,
you are a podcast legend, my friend.
Well, no, it's just you get to a certain age and you just don't.
I know.
You don't give a shit anymore.
I totally. That's why I said it's fine. Who cares, right? I don't know. It's fun to listen back to those, but yeah, that's patreon.com/DVR. And yeah, we're covering Veronica Mars.
Just DVR?
Yeah.
Wow.
DVR. Patreon/DVR, baby. Well, that's old school now, though. I say DVR, and people are like, what's a DVR? I was like, that's the thing you record your shows
TiVo.
On. Yeah, TiVo. Yeah.
I will not listen to the first episode Jay and I ever did. I just can't do it. It's so bad. But if people want to listen to the old Lost podcast, I get this all the time. If you go on jayandjack.com, if you scroll down, there's a little thing that says archives, and most of the podcasts are on there. You just click on the year and stuff you want to do, and like that. But man, I get asked that all the time, and I'm like going, but yeah, I always tell people, skip the first one. Just skip it.
You guys were good from the beginning, man. I have to give Jay props. He produced the hell out of that show. You got a rate. I mean, like Ralph, when you were saying, like, I could tell it was an ABC. I liked that when I, you know, like, cause I was like, wow, but it's very well produced. I can hear what they're saying. All our shows are like talk show. We're like on a phone and we're like, hey, can you hear me, Mark? You know, people are going through like drive-ins at Burger King while we're recording the show. There was like crazy stuff happening. It was fun. But anyway, go to DVR podcast. We're covering a bunch of stuff. And also hello to everybody out there that loves Lost. This is the best community. Thank you, Jack, Ralph. Thank you both for talking with me. I mean, I'm so happy to be here. I have to say, I had to stop myself from just watching Lost all night long after I watched this pilot. I want to do a rewatch now. I don't know. I might have to do it.
For people wondering, I will finish. This will be finished. It's going to be 2 episodes a week.
Awesome.
Different guest hosts every week. Ralph and Axel are welcome anytime they want. They have open invitation to come anytime they want. But next up is Tabula Rasa?
Tabula Rasa.
Yeah. Tabula Rasa. I never had to say it. Jay always said it, and he would get crap for it. And and Walkabout, which is probably the episode. The pilot, as we've talked about, is so good, but Walkabout, I think, sucks you in.
Oh,
if you're not sucked in by Walkabout, just forget it and just move on to a different show.
The pilot grabs you, and Walkabout holds you down.
Yeah, because it's like I was shocked we got Walkabout, but this has been fun. I'm pumped. I'm excited. And again, thanks guys for joining us, and check out their stuff, guys out there in Lost Land. It's only $1, right, Ralph?
It's only a buck. I can't make it any cheaper. I just want people to hear it.
$1.
I'm proud of the work I'm doing on it. And that's all I want is people to hear it. It's a lot.
There you go, people.
Yeah.
All right. And check us out on Crazy Hank TV. We got all kinds of stuff going on. And we're going to have Dancing with the Stars is coming back. So
nice.
I know you're all excited about that.
Ooh. I know one of the people on. Oh, yeah. No.
I do a podcast on Dancing with the Stars. So.
No.
And Downton Abbey, the movie's coming back. So the movie, it's in theaters.
I like that. That's fun.
I just received a text that said from my wife that said, Bob Odenkirk says that the Breaking Bad movie is already filmed.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Hot off the press.
Nice. So a lot of good things going on. But anyway, check us out next week. Every Thursday, we're going to be releasing another episode on Crazy Hank TV. And again, thanks for everyone. And thanks for watching.
Subscribe. Thanks for having me.
Tell an enemy. We don't care. That's all I got. We're out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Peace. That was fantastic. Thank you so much to Jack for having me on and Ralph for being so accommodating. Awesome. I'd never been on a show with Ralph before. That dude is great. I've been listening to him for years. Go over to his Patreon, go to his website, go to Crazy Hank TV, subscribe, rate, review, do all that great stuff. And it was just, it was such a pleasure to do this. I'm definitely going to be back and doing more episodes of Lost with Jack on Crazy Hank TV. I hope you all enjoyed it. Talk to you soon. Peace out.